Timothy's parental upbringing therefore shaped and influenced the way that he lived his life. There are some parents in this room this morning. I wonder, do we feel the awesome privilege and responsibility of bringing up our children in the fear and instruction of the Lord? Having said that, it may be that there are some of us who are parents here today who perhaps feel that we have in many ways failed God and our children too. But I want to say, if that is the case, that God is able to meet our need. Firstly, he can meet our need for forgiveness. He sent his son, the Lord Jesus, into this world in order that we might freely receive his forgiveness. And he can meet our need for wisdom too, as we read his word, to continue to bring up our children. And we need a lot of wisdom, don't we, in bringing up children. And he can meet our need too for strength. He's given us his Holy Spirit that we might be strengthened in every aspect of life. Sometimes bringing up children can require a great deal of strength. I'm not thinking so much of physical strength, but mental strength. Timothy's life was shaped and influenced, firstly, by his parental upbringing, but also, secondly, by his spiritual friendship. By his spiritual friendship. And here we're looking at verses 3 and 4. I wonder, do you have a good Christian friend that helps you and encourages you in the things of God? It's good to have a friend like that. It's good to have the sort of friend that will speak the truth into your life when you don't really want to hear it. Such friends, I believe, are priceless. It's a wonderful thing to have a good and godly Christian friend. Well, Timothy had such a friend in Paul. Though I think it is only fair to say that Paul was much more than a friend to Timothy. He was a spiritual father to him. Look at verse 2. To Timothy he writes, "My dear son." Moreover, he was something of a mentor to him. He took him on his missionary journeys as his apprentice. Nevertheless, he was a good friend to him. We see how good of friends they were from these verses in chapter 1. If you look at verse 4, you'll see that Paul speaks about recalling Timothy's tears. There had come a time when they had parted. Paul had left Ephesus in order to go to Macedonia. It wasn't an easy party. Perhaps they both cried. If they both cried, then their experience reminds me of David and Jonathan in the Old Testament, when they had to part. If you look at verse 4, you'll also see that Paul longed to see him again, so that he might be filled with joy. In the meantime, verse 3, he prayed for him continually, night and day, he says. He even wrote letters to him from time to time, like this one, to encourage him in his Christian life. He wrote to him with words to help sustain him and strengthen him in his Christian ministry. Again, in his commentary on 2 Timothy, John Stott tells of a friend that he was blessed with. He writes this, "I thank God for the man who led me to Christ and for the extraordinary devotion in which he nurtured me in the early years of my Christian life. He wrote to me every week, I think, for 7 years. He also prayed for me every day. I believe that he still does. I can only begin to guess what I owe under God to such a faithful friend. I wonder whether we could be a good Christian or spiritual friend to somebody else. Timothy's life was shaped and influenced by his friendship with the Apostle Paul. What else shaped and influenced the life of Timothy? Well, thirdly, his reception of the Spirit of God. We've talked about parents and friends shaping and transforming lives. Well, now we want to talk about God, the Holy Spirit, shaping and transforming lives. Timothy was a gifted preacher and teacher. And his calling into the Christian ministry had been confirmed through a prophetic word and by the laying on of hands. Now, I don't know whether it's been any easier since, but ministry in the first century was unquestionably difficult. Timothy would have faced opposition inside the church and outside of the church. Therefore, he needed power or strength to serve and not shy away from his God-given task. Moreover, he needed to have a love for people, particularly towards those who made his life difficult and proved difficult to love. And he needed self-discipline or self-control so as not to lose his head in difficult or trying circumstances. But all these resources, you see, were available to him in and through the Holy Spirit. Look at what we read in verse 7. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. The Spirit of God then shaped and influenced the way Timothy not only lived his life, but the way that he carried out his ministry. That the Holy Spirit had given Timothy a new nature. He had given him a gift for ministry, and he would continue to equip him for the ongoing challenges of the work that God had called him to. Now, Christian friends, our calling is probably quite different from that of Timothy's. But we've all been called by God, haven't we, to live for him and to serve him in particular ways. For some of us it might be bringing up children. For others it might be looking after elderly parents. For others it might be the ministry of prayer. For others it might be serving in the church in some particular way. For others it might be working in the City of London or engaging in some particular ministry within the community. But whatever ministry it is that God has called us to, the Holy Spirit is able to shape and influence the way that we live our lives before God. So we've spoken about his parental upbringing, we've spoken about his spiritual friendship, we've spoken about him receiving the Spirit. Fourthly and lastly, I want to speak about his personal discipline. Parents, friends, and the Holy Spirit, they all shaped and influenced Timothy's life. But he had the responsibility of shaping his own life and ministry too. We've already noted this morning that Timothy was given the gift of preaching and teaching, but it was his responsibility to fan his gift into flame. That is, to discipline himself, not only to use it, but to get better in the use of his particular gift. Now, I think everybody in this room knows who I'm speaking about when I say Usain Bolt. He presumably was able to run really fast as a very little boy. I imagine when it came to races at primary school, he won every race without having to worry about the competition. He was granted the gift, we might say, of running fast. But if he was going to become really good, then he couldn't afford to put his feet up and watch television all day. No, he had to keep on running and exercising and improving his technique. Well, Timothy needed to keep on running, so to speak. That is, keep on using his gift. You see, the temptation for Timothy was to neglect his gift. Ministry was tough. Ministry in his day had a tendency to result in suffering. You could be put in prison for proclaiming the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus. But he must not neglect his gift. He mustn't let that happen. He needed to fan the gift that God had given to him into flame. You see, Paul wasn't going to be around much longer. Paul was coming towards the end of his life. He'd served God so wonderfully and so faithfully. And no doubt, people like Timothy had leant on Paul for a long, long time, just as some of us who are younger in ministry lean on those who have been in ministry much longer than ourselves. But the church needed men who could teach the word of God and make us stand for the truth. Timothy, you need to discipline yourself to fan into flame the gift that God has given to you. I seem to have a number of quotes from John Stott. That's probably because I've been reading his commentary this week. But let me give you another quote from John Stott. He writes this: however much or little we may have received from God, either directly in natural and spiritual endowment, or indirectly through parents, friends and teachers, we must still apply ourselves in active discipline to cooperate with God's grace, to keep fanning the inner fire into flame. Otherwise, we shall never be the men and women God wants us to be, or fulfill the ministry he has given us to exercise. So we've seen this morning that there were certain things that shaped and influenced Timothy's life and made him the man that he was. Firstly, his parental influence. We must never underestimate parental influence. Secondly, his spiritual friend, Paul. What a tremendous friend he must have been. And thirdly, his receiving of the Holy Spirit. We can't live and serve God, can we, apart from the Holy Spirit and his own personal discipline. We have a part to play in making ourselves the people that God would have us be. You know, sometimes these phrases sort of get thrown around in Christian circles. Let go and let God. I don't feel entirely comfortable with those words. We want to cooperate with God's gracious work in our lives in order to become the people that God would have us be. We need to fan into flame the gifts that God has given to us. Well, having talked about what shaped and influenced Timothy, we ought to think just for a moment as we finish what kind of man Timothy was. Well, look at verse 5. There you'll see that Paul is reminded of his sincere faith. And then in Acts chapter 16, we learn that Timothy was a man who was well spoken of by the believers, or by the church in Lystra, which is where he came from, and Iconium. And I think we can safely say that Timothy would have been the kind of man that met all the necessary qualifications for leadership within the church. If he hadn't have met all those qualifications, which are largely about godliness, then Paul wouldn't have taken him with him on his missionary journeys, and he wouldn't have entrusted him with the responsibility of the church at Ephesus. Well, from what we know of Timothy, I think we can safely say as well that he was a man who loved God's word, who loved the gospel of the Lord Jesus, and faithfully proclaimed the truth about him. That truth being that he has destroyed death and brought life and immortality for all who will believe on him. When I look at the life of Timothy, as recorded in the Bible, I get the impression that Timothy's life wasn't about Timothy. It was about Jesus. He wanted to lift up the name of Jesus. He wanted to proclaim God's salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. I finish with this. If our greatest need had been for information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness and eternal life. And so God sent us a Saviour in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Timothy's great delight in life was to preach about Jesus, to speak of the one who had been crucified and gloriously rose from the dead on the third day, in order that salvation might be found in him, and of course in him alone. Well, let's pray, shall we, together? We'll sing our final hymn after I've prayed, and then I think the young people are going to come back into the church, and then they're going to distribute some of the flowers. But let's pray first of all. Lord, we thank you for the influences upon Timothy's life, those influences that shaped him and made him the man that he was. We thank you, Lord, for all the things that shape and influence our lives too. Some of us here this morning can thank you for godly parents, and we bless you for them. Some of us can thank you for wonderful Christian friends that encourage us and challenge us in our Christian lives. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, who works within the life of every believer, shaping and transforming them into the people that you, O God, would have them be. And we pray that we might know more of your Spirit's work within our lives, helping us to be more like Jesus, helping us to serve the Lord Jesus in the way that you have called us to, whether that be in the church or whether it be outside of the church. Oh, how we pray that you'd help us to be a good witness for you, O Lord. Help us to recognize that we have a part to play in the people that we are. We can't just let go and let God, though we do acknowledge that God works within us to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Help us to be disciplined in our lives. Help us to work hard about in terms of being the people that you would have us be. And we pray that you would help us in many ways to be like Timothy, who was Christ-centered, Christ-focused, and was passionate about people, young and old, hearing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be a gospel-minded people, And Lord, bring glory to your name through our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand and sing our final.